We've been talking about accountability the last couple of weeks, and maybe you're sitting here thinking like, oh man, not again. But it's really something that the Lord is laying on our hearts really heavily. It's really something that we must get right. And I don't want to say this as in a sense to force you, but to a degree we have to force one another to get it right. And I'm not going to talk too long. I'm going to look at three different reasons why we so often have an issue with the accountability thing. I mean, there's a number of the guys who stood up here who actually testified about the fact that the accountability they experienced, the influence it had in their lives. And I'm going to let Marcel Maltby, share something at the end of the service as well, just the fruit that we have from it. So I'm not going to extend the introduction too long. Three different reasons why so many of us have an issue with accountability. The first one, I think, I'm not sure whether it's in the way we say it, in the way we teach people, but so many of us, we feel, oh man, okay, this is now something again that I must do. Because we generally, my tongue is not working together with me here tonight. We are generally not, we don't like being put in a place where there's certain requirements of me. Especially in a sort of a church context, especially in a place like this. It's for many of us, it seems more like something to do that hasn't really got any reason for doing it. And I'm going to show a little bit later, there's obviously a lot of reason why we can do it. It's not just a whole lot of unnecessary effort. Second reason there is simply I don't want you to know, specifically referring to the sins in our lives. We generally don't want other people to know our own stuff, to know the skeletons we have in the closet. And I think that's true for all of us. And one of the reasons why we don't want to do it. And then the last one is my life is my life. Basically talking about the thing that no one else is going to tell me what to do and what not to do. So I'm going to just quickly walk through all three of these. And I'm going to start with the first one, obviously, regarding something I must do. And I want to start by looking at a reason why I believe accountability is really important and really good for us. And I'm going to read for you a scripture, John 15, verse 2 and verse 4. I'm not going to read the one in between. It's not too, that I don't think it's important. I really just want us to focus on the specifics tonight. And it says that every branch in me that does not bear fruit is obviously Jesus speaking. He takes away. And everyone that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bring forth more fruit. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it remains in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. God's desire for us, God's plan for us, is that we must bear fruit. That's what God has for us. And bearing fruit, I think, is basically what Ross mentioned here. Growing up in Christ, growing in becoming like Christ. He could have given Ephesians 4 quote as well, where he talks about growing to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. That is the fruit that Jesus is speaking of there. And I think, again, it's probably true for all of us. We really want that. We really want to be the branch that bears fruit, that is pruned to bear more fruit. We don't want to be the branch that is put away. That's true for all of us. I think we really want to honor the Lord in that. But I think many of us, I mean, Nicole mentioned the whole issue about the talents, God giving one 5 talents, another one 2 talents, another one 1. Or not God, the story, Jesus speaking about someone. And then the guy with 5 and the guy with 2, they actually worked with it and they made more. The guy with 1 didn't and he put it away. And the words that Jesus, or the master in the story there, which is referring to God, says to those who actually worked with it and did something with it, was, well done, good and faithful servant. And I think similar to the whole thing of being a branch that bears fruit, I think we often look at it and we read those scriptures and we sort of, Lord, may I, or let me be that one. We sort of hope that we will be that thing, that person, that one who the Lord, of whom the Lord will say, well done, good and faithful servant. But we never actually apply ourselves to get there. We never get active in the process of getting there. So what I actually want to say with this is that it's really this, yeah, each and every one of us can bear fruit. You don't just have to sit and hope that you will be that person. You can be that person. And you can know that you are that person. So I want to encourage you guys in that. I think what, just linking it up with accountability, it's not something we can be on our own. It's not something we can be on our own. That's why we need others. We need friends. We need people who can, you know, hold us accountable. And I think for me, that's the whole reason why we should be in accountability relationships. It's not to do a certain effort. It's not just because the church now wants it. It's in order to bear fruit. We help one another with it. None of us can do it on our own. It's necessary for us to grow. Galatians 6, verse 1 and 2. No, it's not that one. I'm going to read another one first. I'll just get my notes in order here. Someone messed with my notes. Must be one of the four people, one of the people standing up front here. In any case, 1 Timothy 4, verse 7 to 8. It says there, and exercise yourself towards godliness, for bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable to all things, having promise of the promise for the present life. I think I made a typo there, and of that which is to come. Exercise yourself towards godliness. It's an analogy Paul uses that's very applicable. Works very well with the whole issue about accountability. I think in exercising, obviously, this is something Ross also mentioned last week, and I'm going to use a similar thing tonight. It's obviously, it's if you want to accomplish something in terms of just sport or whatever, or losing weight, whatever your goal is, it's your responsibility. It's something that you have to do. And I think the problem with that is, unfortunately, very few of us have self-motivation. Very few of us have self-motivation. Generally, we don't. I remember just working as an engineer for a number of years, getting up to middle management, then I had five guys working under me. It's not a lot, but man, it was frustrating. I can understand why people in middle management, generally, I mean, these days in the engineering, the civil engineering industry, it happened earlier for us because the guys 20 years older than us just weren't here. They went out of the country. But mostly it's guys in their mid-30s to 40s. And very often those are the guys with the highest risk in terms of heart attacks and those sort of things. But in any case, I don't want to talk about that. I don't know why I'm saying that. But what frustrated me was the lack of self-motivation that the guys had. I couldn't understand why I had to look over their shoulder the whole time for them to actually do the work that they had to do. I mean, it's sort of far removed from the accountability scene, but that's what it boils down to in terms of us as individuals. We struggle because we are generally not self-motivated, which is why when we exercise, you take someone with. Well, most people have to take someone with, otherwise they're not going to continue doing it. It's just unfortunately, the way we are. And Ross did mention last week about his gym partners, Neil and Mornay and the guys who help him just to actually go there, to go and do the stuff, and keeping each other accountable to go there. But I really want to say that the whole issue about accountability specifically is more than just making sure we do what we need to do, more than just making sure we grow in Christ. If you go to the gym, you do it for a certain reason. You've got a certain vision in your mind. Maybe you want to lose weight. Maybe you want to build muscle. I don't know, some of the guys, maybe you want to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. You're going to need more than just the exercise. You're going to have to those sort of things, which is not good. But I don't know why I said that. In any case, you've got a certain vision. Maybe you just want to get fit, whatever. Like I said, my tongue isn't working together with me. Maybe you just want to get fit. Now, yes, having someone there is going to help you to go there and do it, having someone with you. But what's also involved there is having someone with you there helps you to grow quicker. And a good example, the men would understand it, ladies, I'm not sure, I hope you would, it's just doing a bench press, for instance. If you want to do a bench press, if you're going to do it completely on your own, there's a limit to the amount of weight and the amount of reps you can do, because you still need to have enough energy left to do the last repetition to put the bar back on its stand again. If you don't have enough energy left, some funny things happen to you. And I don't know whether you've seen it. Sometimes the guys don't put the stoppers on the bars and they decide, no, the best thing to do is I need to shift it to the one side, and then the weight falls off, and then they forgot there's a weight on the other side. So they go completely to the other direction. It's actually quite funny, but it's dangerous. All sorts of funny things that can happen to you. But if you've got someone there who actually spots you, who actually stands with you when you do it, who can help you with the last repetition, you stretch your body further. Because you stretch your body further, you grow quicker. And it's a very simple analogy, but that's exactly what it's like in spiritual accountability, in terms of growing in Christ, growing in becoming like Christ. Having someone there helps you to constantly grow. Having someone there helps you to grow quicker, makes you get there quicker. Having that vision, obviously the vision for us is Christ, growing to be like Him. So I think really for us, obviously the whole issue is about we want to bear fruit. We want to get there. We want to please God in becoming more like Christ. But we must understand our own limitations, the fact that I'm not self-motivated, the fact that I might be lazy. If I need someone, therefore I grab a buddy and we go and do it. Do we still have the buddy system in university? Okay. Just always when I hear the word buddy, I think of the buddy system. It started in my days at varsity. Cool stuff. And I've still got my notes completely messed up. Can you believe that? Okay, here we go. Galatians 6, 1 and 2. Something Ross mentioned last week as well. Brothers, if a man is overtaken in a fault, you, the spiritual ones, restore such one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so you will fulfill the law of Christ. And, okay, like I said, growing in Christ, bearing fruit. We said we've got Christ as our vision. He's what we want to become. And in that sense, it talks about Him in terms of His lifestyle, in terms of His morality, in terms of His purity, in terms of who He was and is. That is to what we grow to. That is where we grow towards. And everything that does. And when on one hand, it talks here about man is overtaken in a fall. It talks about sin. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. I want to focus on the next piece there, where it says that you, the spiritual ones, restore such a one. No, it's not that one at the bottom there. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And so it's really for me, the whole issue of accountability, we tend to focus so much on the fact that I've got these sins and I must deal with these sins because when I'm done with these sins, I'm going to look more like Christ. That's part of it. But there's way more. It's relational still. So the other part of it is also going to be, okay, I see you're going through a difficult time. How can I help you? How can I support you? How can I pray for you? What can I do for you? That's another part of it that I also want you guys to just keep in mind. And in that sense, I think a better analogy sometimes would be a long-distance race like the Comrades. You see the guys at the end, they don't look too good anymore. But some people help them to whatever degree the laws these days allow them to, but help them to endure to the end. And I think that's really another thing that's very important. I had a chat with a lady in the week. The Lord has really, she's not going through a difficult time, but the Lord has specifically given her a burden to pray for, something to pray for. And she's got a friend who's also got a burden, something else, but something the Lord has really given them. And my own advice to her, I mean, I'm not saying it's God speaking, that really just being able to endure in carrying that burden, it's so much easier if you do it with someone. So my advice to her, again, there would be, well, once a week or twice a week, then let the two of you actually come together and pray together and carry one another's burdens. So the burdens can be a difficult time, but it can also be something the Lord has given you, something that He wants you to endure in because He wants to do something through you in that moment, or in that prayer, whatever you want to do. So, yeah, all comes back to just standing in a relationship where the person helps you either to grow in Christ, or to deal with your sin, or to actually be lifted up when necessary, or to help you carry the burden that the Lord has given you. And I think for me, the whole accountability thing boils down back to the when the guys asked Jesus, what's the biggest command, or the most important command? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. another scene, one adds strength in there as well. And then he also says they love your neighbor as yourself. And I think it's regarding both of them. Regarding both of them. Because I love God, I want my life to please him, and I want the lives of those around me to please God. And because I love my neighbor, I love the people around me, I care for them when they go through a difficult time, and I help them carry the burden the Lord has given them. It's really talking about being interrelated in our lives, sharing our lives with one another, and in keeping each other accountable to do what is necessary to bear fruit, and deal with the stuff that we need to deal with. And it's something that Ross said last week. I just want to remind you guys, there are two sides to accountability. There's my side, the fact that I'm going to share about my stuff, I'm going to share about my difficulties, I'm going to share about the stuff that I go through, but then there's also the part where someone is going to support, someone is going to add to me, someone is going to give me direction and pray and those sort of stuff. So I think, just want to say, I really believe that if each and every one of us, if we want to grow in becoming like Christ, if we want to grow in portraying Christ in our lives, we are going to have to be willing to receive some difficult questions. And I think as a church, we're actually going to probably go into a bit of a season in asking ourselves some difficult questions. You're asking difficult questions, but because you're in a relationship, sometimes you can do the asking as well. But it's really something that up here, we understand it. We understand what accountability is about. We understand why it's important, but we don't do it. So it's just simply to help us get over the hurdle and to actually do it, because the fruit of it is really amazing. Accountability is not just effort. It's not just something we want. We know the other side of it. We know the fruit that it can have in your life if you have someone like that. Then the second point, and it's very quiet tonight. That sounds a little bit better. It's just the whole issue about I don't want you to know. I don't want you to know about the stuff that I struggle with. I don't want you to know about my sin. And because, it's just, I don't want you to know. It's shameful. It's shameful. And that's exactly the problem. The whole issue of shame. It's one of the biggest things that prevent us from being accountable. It's one of the biggest things that prevents us from ever finding healing with whatever sin we struggle with. You guys know Ross and my own stories. We've messed up. We've messed up badly. But the Lord's healed us. The Lord's restored us. And it's the same for each and every one of us. The same for each and every one of you. There's no one that's this different. I want to just read you a C.S. Lewis quote that happened to do the rounds on Facebook in this last week. I saw it on two people, both in church, their profiles. I think their surnames are both Martins, but that's okay. It's a quote by C.S. Lewis, and he says, "Friendship is born at that moment when one person says to another, 'What? You too? I thought I was the only one.'" And it's talking about friendship. But accountability is real friendship, where someone loves you enough to not allow you to remain in your own mud pit. Where someone loves you enough to not allow you to go and sing for auditions on Idols. That sort of thing. That sort of thing. Okay, that's a practical thing. It's got to do with life, not necessarily becoming like Christ, but maybe you need to go through that to become like Christ. I don't know. But in any case, I think it's really applicable. I'm ashamed of my sins. I don't want the person next to me to know about it. He's ashamed of his sins. He doesn't want me to know about it. But the reality is, we are both the same. The reality is, my heart is just as off as his. His heart is just as off as mine. We are both the same. We are both sinners. We are both standing before God in need of a Savior, in need of someone. And then we get to Jesus. We find the saving grace of God. We start to walk with God, still sinning, but now God wants us to actually step forward and deal with it as we go along. And we don't because we think about, what is this guy going to think about me? What is this guy going to say? Well, meanwhile, back at the ranch, we're exactly the same. So many of the things you struggle with, everything you struggle with, someone else has struggled with. Most of the things we struggle with, every other person struggles with. So I really want to encourage you guys, don't let shame hold you back. Don't let shame prevent you from talking. No person can judge you from a place of perfect holiness. No person can. Some people might have dealt with the stuff they struggled with, but they still struggled with it. And maybe you're still there. Maybe you're still struggling. But you can find healing. You can find restoration. Earlier this year, after one of the evening services, a guy came up to me. He spoke to me a few weeks earlier. He said, I need to talk to you. And I'm like, yes, it's good. Let's talk. And didn't really plan it. And then at evening service, just after service, we went up here and we sat up there and had a long chat. And if I think back at it, it's for me amazing what the Lord has done in that guy's life. But he was sat shaking because he was so afraid of what I was going to say. And it was an issue that he had in his life. It's one of those things that the church would generally, in the past, look at and say, bad man, bad man. Those sort of things. It was a homosexual thing. And things that he struggled with, lifestyle that he was involved in, those sort of things. And started walking the road with this guy. And yeah, I mean, the Lord's really, really done amazing stuff in his life. He's really delivered him, really healed him. Really powerful stuff that the Lord has done. But it's that whole, again, that shame thing. It prevents us. It prevents us from talking. Because we think those people are going to judge us. And that's what we sometimes experience. But open yourself up to that possibility. Because if they do judge you, it's their issue, not yours. They're a sinner. You're a sinner. Let's talk. Let's talk. Let's help one another deal with the stuff. James 5:10, it's not in the slides. Confess your sins once to another that you might be healed. And then 1 John 7:1-9 is something also looked at last week. If you walk in the light as he in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The only person that can judge from a place of perfect holiness is God. He's the only one. And like Ross said last week, rather allow your friends to judge you now in a loving way in order to help you overcome, because they're also fallible, than to one day stand before God, the true judge. And I don't want to say that to bring fear. I want to say that because I want you guys to know there is a way, there is a place where you can grow, where you can be healed. I would have never gotten healed if someone didn't pray with me about my pornographic issue. I would have never gotten over my suicidal stuff if someone didn't pray with me. It's, standing alongside one another, staking yourself up against someone else or someone against you if it's necessary in order to grow, in order to overcome. So don't let shame hold you back. I'm going to skip the John 3 scripture. And I get to the 1 Corinthians 12, verse 14, and then 19 to 21. And I want to talk about the last issue, whole issue of my life is my life. No one else is going to tell me what I want to do. I'll do with my life what I want. My time is my time. All those sort of things. And I must say, it's something moving down from Pretoria 2 years ago. It's something that I found quite evident in Cape Town. The whole, I mean, in Gauteng, the pride of man manifests totally in the place of what do I have? my possessions, my house, my car, those sort of things. In Cape Town, it manifests a bit differently. It's about my time and what I want to do with my time. And so I think it's something that's really something we can look at, something we can think of in terms of this. And it's again, it's one of those things that, because it is a manifestation of pride, ultimately, it is a manifestation of what is an independent spirit. And I'm going to say it a bit later again, but we're not independent people. We cannot be. We're interdependent people. We are the body of Christ. Maybe let's read the scripture now. I'm going to read it a bit later, but let's read it. It says, "For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' That there may be no division in the body," I'm just skipping a few verses there, "but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together." Okay, and I made a spelling mistake there with honored again. But in any case, it's really something that I think we really need to grasp. For very long in our culture, we've looked at our spiritual walk with Jesus, and we've looked at one another, and we said, it's your personal thing. It's your personal thing. Walking with God is a personal thing. And yes, it's personal, but it's not private. It's personal, but it's not private. And for very long, we've kept it as a private thing. And that's when, yeah, stille waters, diepe grond, onder die duivel rond. That is when things like that actually become true. And I really want to say, you know, when God, everything that God does, the promises that God gives to his people, with all of that, he's got his community in mind. It's not just individuals, he's got individuals in mind, but within his community. And yeah, what happens in your life has got everything to do with what happens in mine. And I don't say that because I'm a pastor and we have to overlook you guys and those sort of things. I'm saying it from the angle of being a fellow child of God. And in that sense, it applies to everyone. What happens in your life has got everything to do with me. If one suffer, all suffer. If one is honored, all are honored. It's really powerful. If it's not going well with you, then it's not going well with the body. If it's not going well with you, it is not going well with the body, because I'm part of the body, it's not going well with me. Therefore, if it's not going well with you, it's got everything to do with me. And we often make it just too much of a private thing. We are one body. We're only one body. If one suffers, all suffer. We must stop seeing ourselves as independent. And I think the same thing applies to sin. In our lives, you know, we are meant to glorify God. We are meant to give glory to God. So if I, not as a pastor, as a fellow child of God, see something in your life that does not bring glory to God, maybe especially something in your life that causes the view of God or the view of Christianity to be broken down in the public eye, and it's not bringing glory to God, I have to act, because I'm living for God. I want to please him. I want to glorify him. And I have to help you deal with that thing. You guys are with me in that thing. Because we together, we want to glorify God. So if we don't see it happening, we need to help one another. Because I've got a heart for God. Want to help him. So it's something then that we do. Seeing you, like the Galatians 6 scripture we had, 6 verse 1, someone is caught in a trespass, you restore that person. You are spiritual. Restore that person in a spirit of gentleness. So it's really a place where you become active in helping others, overcoming the stuff they struggle with, overcoming the stuff that prevents God from being glorified in our lives. And, yeah, through our lives. It's something that you do then for God's sake, but then obviously for the sake of the individual, so that individual can actually grow, and get that sorted. Another scripture there is Hebrews 12:15-16. And it's the last one. It says, "As see to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. See to it that no one is sexually immoral or unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal." Big words there for me is actually the first three. See to it. See to it. In other words, someone takes responsibility. It's not just Ross, it's not just me, it's all of us for one another. Someone takes responsibility to make sure that you would not fall short of the grace of God. That's accountability. That's why we need to get it right. Because we've got a goal, a place we're going to, a vision, and we want to get there. And that place we're going to is seeing the fulfilling of the grace of God in our lives. See to it that no one falls short of the glory of God. Your life is important to me, and my life is important to you. Accountability. We're not independent. We are interdependent. And I want to tell you guys a story. It's a bit of a sad story, but something that happened with me quite a few years ago, still up in Pretoria. One of our neighbors, she had a bit of a rough lifestyle. And we took her to church and we spent some time with her, and she ultimately gave her heart to God. She joined us in church, and she was really going strong for a while. Not a year, 6, 7, 8 months. Till she met a guy, and the guy moved in with her, stayed right next to us, moved in with her, and she just suddenly didn't come to church anymore. And maybe I should just say this, where I came from in terms of that, we as a church come from regarding the whole issue of people staying together. You know, I know my own weakness. I know if I were to stay with a woman that's not my wife in a single place for months and years on end, I will fall. I will fall, because I know myself. I know that's I'm not strong in terms of that. And I suspect most people are like that. But to be fair, if you talk to someone about that and they say, "No, we're not sleeping together," I can't take it further. I can't judge that. If they say that, I need to just say, "Okay, if that's what you say, you're a better person than me, but okay. Let's say that's true." But that's not the only issue. What's more than that is their lives, they say they are Christian. But the outside perception of their lives is different. And that's where the sin comes in. The sin comes in by your lifestyle. If you're doing that, your lifestyle degrading Christianity, degrading a life with Jesus. That's why it's wrong. That's why we generally act when we find people in church who do that. And I know there's some people with difficult circumstances. I've got respect for that. And if you are in a situation like that, come to us. Let us find the solution together. But we can't just leave things like that. In any case, so I was praying about it, and the Lord gave me a word, a relatively harsh word. And it's a word in Ezekiel 33, if I got it right now. Yeah, Ezekiel 33. And the word says, God speaking to Ezekiel, he says to him, "Ezekiel, if I say to the people, they will perish and die, and you don't go and warn them, they will die in their iniquity, and their blood I will, will be on your hands. But if you do go to them and they don't repent, they die in their iniquity, their blood will be required from themselves." That's the word the Lord gave me. Now, with fear and trembling, I went up to her one night, the next evening, that first I received the word the morning. That evening she wasn't there. The next evening I went up to her and I shared it with her. And I told her, listen, I don't know what you're doing. Yes, I care what you're doing, but I can't say what you're doing in here. The problem is the testimony. The problem is the perception from outside. And I really just want to encourage you guys to find a solution. And, I spoke about the whole thing. We're not seeing it in church anymore. So the sum of everything that was happening was very worrying to me. And we didn't speak of someone that was still pursuing a life with Christ. And to cut the long story short, a few months later, they moved away because they felt their lives weren't private enough. And she never returned to church. She never returned to church. I still every now and then pray for her and hope that she did find another place of safety, another place where she can grow in Christ. But that's accountability. That's what we need to do with one another. So Marcel, if you can maybe come forward so long. I've been speaking too long. We're meant to share life. We're meant to help one another. We're meant to help one another in enduring. We are meant to help one another to overcome. And so many of us, a lot of you still are students, some of you are working already. What's always funny for me is that we find it easy to be held accountable in a work situation. Because you receive a certain responsibility and someone will come and check that you do what you do. Because the company will suffer if you don't. In that sort of context, we're fine with it. But when it comes to church, somehow we're not. Somehow we think, ooh, no, I don't want this. It's too personal. It's too private. And yes, it is. But it's really a place of, I love some of the testimonies that we had here tonight. It's really a powerful place of growth. A powerful place of the stuff you don't want others to know, to actually overcome it, to actually grow in it. And so really, really want to encourage you guys, don't limit your growth. Don't let shame prevent you from growing. And don't be independent, Marcel.
Cool. Evening, church. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Marcel. Like Yaku has just introduced me. For those of you who do know me, don't worry, I haven't backslidden. I just haven't been here for quite a while because of the youth. And just for those of you interested, it's been really cool. Last week, one of the kids just gave his heart to the Lord and four got spirit-filled. Thanks, Yaku. And tonight there were, last week there were 11, and this week there were 16, so we're growing. And it's cool and it's awesome. But the reason why I'm here is actually just to share of my life and just a testimony of accountability and what it's really done in my life and how special it really is to have accountability. And to start off with, I don't like the word accountability. To me, it sounds like work. It sounds like effort. It sounds like something cold, and it sounds like you just have to stand there and tell someone everything about your life and that you don't want to do, you know? So I like to call it just a godly friendship. Now, my best friend is Celine, and we started off as, you know, actually being unsaved, and then God just took us separately, gave our hearts to the Lord and stuff, and then we started our godly friendship where the both of us, we weren't discipled, so we realized we're lost, you know, and like Yaku said, you know, what, you two? That's how our friendship started, you know, like we felt like sorry for ourselves and no one's discipling us, so we said, you know what? We can do this together, you know. She's very different to what I am. And so, you know, every time we would get together, we would just start sharing, you know, this is what the Lord's been telling me. And she's like, oh, that's cool. I don't see God that way. But now I can start seeing him that way. And then I would learn from her. And, you know, it's just really awesome. So that's how it starts, you know. It starts with friendship, you know. It starts with trust, accountability. We didn't go into the whole thing of, oh, okay, we're going to share our everything. But as we started trusting each other and as we started realizing that this person really loves me for who I am and wants to, you know, share their experiences with me, it makes me more willing to share my experiences with that person. And Celine's a very open person. I'm a closed book completely, you know. So in that sense, she helped me to become more open and just to really start sharing the things the thoughts that are up here, you know, that I would never share with anyone. And, you know, like like the whole thing accountability, you know, you think, okay, you have to do it now once a week or whatever. We made it fun. You know, we would say, okay, I started working, so then I would, and she was still in Stellenbosch, then I would drive through, then she would make effort with me, you know, and then she would say, come to, you know, Stellenbosch, and then you can sleep over for the weekend, and then we would watch DVDs and make popcorn and make food and whatever. And then, you know, during that time, we would just share with each other, okay, this is what's been going on in this week. You know, I struggled with this. This has been really stiff. You know, like I tried to, you know, work with my, what do you call it, the guy who works with me, my colleague, but it's... But it's really difficult because I, you know, I don't agree with the things that he does, so it makes me want to lash out, you know. And as a Christian saying that, you know, one would think that someone else would judge you because you're a Christian now. You're not supposed to lash out at people. You're supposed to be controlled and whatever, you know. And then she would just laugh at me and say, shame, man, okay, that's cool. And it was really cool that to know that I can tell someone else that, you know what, I thought an unchristian thing, you know, like I really just wanted to smash this guy's face. And then she wouldn't judge me for it because she had similar problems as well. She was dealing with stuff at Res where people were doing stuff that she just did not agree with at all, you know. And so it was cool to know that there's someone that's not judging you and is going through the same things, you know. And yeah, like we would do sleepovers or we'd even go to wine farms, you know, and just chill a day out at Lanzarote, you know, just drinking wine and just saying, okay, well, not too much, but yeah, a bit of wine does help sometimes to start going into the more deeper stuff where you realize, okay, I really have to share now lots of stuff. But
just want to put in a disclaimer here. The words of this person does not represent the views of the church.
Anyway, so yeah, that was really cool. So our friendship just grew more and more, and because we realized, you know, like after every session that we had, after every kaira that we had, you know, sleeping over, whatever, I would walk away feeling encouraged and excited to go back to school where I work, you know, and being able to face that colleague and not smash his face, you know. And she would be able to, you know, go to Res because she was still living in Res and deal with the problems and that type of thing. But, you know, how it happened is after, you know, saying this is what I'm struggling with, then we would say, okay, you know, you're human, that's fine, so let's just pray about it. Let's just give it to the Lord and just just say, okay, I'm human, I'm struggling with this thought and, you know, whatever, and then we would just really pray about it and allow the Lord in. And that was the main thing about our relationship is the Lord is always first in our relationship, you know, like our friendship wasn't just a place where we can just share and stuff, but we would actually really challenge each other as well, you know, because we saw godly friendship as treating each other the way Jesus would treat his friends. And when you read in the Bible, he would support his friends, the disciples, obviously. He would teach them, minister to them, meaning praying for them, and also rebuking them for when they did, you know, were thinking stuff or doing stuff that is not right. And, you know, because we had that friendship, that trust base, it made it so easy for her to, you know, just speak into my life and just say, are you sure that what you're doing is right? You know, and that's the most important thing is an accountability relationship is you mustn't, you know, you rebuke, and judge and make that person feel bad. You know, what you do is you ask each other's questions continuously, you know. Like I would see something in Celine's life that is not on, you know. And then it's much better for her to come to that revelation that is not on than me telling her, you know. So then what I would do is I would start asking her questions. And then, like, really challenging her, playing devil's advocate, like, you know, are you sure that this is the right thing? You know, where do you see yourself going if you continue with this and that type of thing? And then afterwards, she's like, okay, that's probably not cool what I'm doing or whatever the case may be. So, yeah, when just looking at our relationship and the persons that we are, you know, now and then, we knew each other before we got saved. And now we know each other afterwards as well. And most of you don't know how we were or who we were beforehand. And like, for example, I'll just testify from my life. I was, for example, a very hard person, closed off, unemotional type of person. And through just being friends with Celine, where she would continuously challenge me and poke me in terms of asking me what am I feeling and that type of thing, and just witnessing her love for people, it made me want to love people because I saw the freedom that she had. I never wanted to be vulnerable, you know. So that's just the fruit that really just, you know, having accountability is you see that person, you see a weakness, but you don't go, there's your weakness. You know, you don't press on it and make that, when that person's down, you know, you say in your, you realize that person has a weakness. So you do whatever you can to help that person out of that weakness, you know, by supporting that person. And like I told Celine, I see your life and I see that you are so open with people. And that was just her, she knew that I was hard, you know, but she'd never told that to me. She never told me that I'm a closed off, cold, hard person. She just kept on loving me. You know, and just by her doing that made me see, okay, well, she so easily gives of herself. I also want that, you know. And, you know, so I just told her one day, you know, this is what I want. And then she said, okay, well, let's pray about it. Okay, we're going to trust God that he's really going to break this in your life. And so we prayed for it. And then every time, because by then, the cool thing is if you're friends for so long, you can immediately sense something in that person is, you're in tune with that person. You know that something in that person's life is not right, you know, or something is wrong. And then she would sense it, you know, and then she would say, so what's going on? I'm like, no, I don't know, you know. And then she's like, okay, well, tell me, how do you feel? I'm like, what's this feeling stuff? I don't like this feeling stuff. But, you know, then she would just keep on pushing because I now told her this is what I want to achieve. I want to know what I'm feeling when something does happen or whatever. And it was just really cool for having that person who persevered with me. And to be honest, I have breakthrough. And now when I'm not feeling lacquer, I would like say it, okay, you know, this is, I'm actually recognizing what emotions it are, you know. And that's just really such an awesome thing to have, is someone that sticks with you and doesn't leave you in the dumps or doesn't just run away when things get too rough. And yeah, and just my main thing about this is just like, know the person that you are having an accountability with. Really know that person. Don't just, it's not just a thing that you do. You know, it's really a path that you walk with someone, a godly friendship that you form. And I just want to ask you guys, like, just this question, you know, like, how is your friendship with another Christian different to a friendship with the world? You know, is that friendship transforming you into becoming more like Christ? Is that friendship like really challenging you, encouraging you, whatever, to really just become the better person? Or is that friendship just a pity party, you know, just chilling, relaxing, but, you know, you're just staying there. You know, there's no growth, there's no nothing. And just like really, like Celine and I, we would like dream together. We would just like share visions and say, you know what? We know God did not place us here on earth just for ourselves. We know that God did not just save us just for no reason. We know that we are meant for something great. We're meant for his purpose. And because of that, like I would hold her accountable whenever she says, "Ah, I just want to give up," you know. Then I would say, no, remember what you told me? You told me that you know that you are meant for something greater. And I know that you are. So we encourage each other constantly. And really, like, not to, like, boast or anything, but this whole youth thing has been thrown in our direction. And the cool thing is I'm doing it with my best friend, you know, and we're doing it together. And you know, like, everything we've dreamt together, we've said that we want to minister to people. We want to make a difference in people's lives, you know, and we prayed about it. And we pushed each other. And when we were down in the dumps thinking that we are the worst people ever, how can God ever use us, you know, then we would encourage each other. And we're now, you know, in the youth ministry, and the Lord's really using each other, like, really in such amazing ways, and it's such a privilege, you know. And if I think that if I did not have that friend, if I did not have that person that would support me and stand by me and push me and challenge me, you know, would I be where I am now? You know, so that's just my testimony, and it's really awesome. So, yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Marcel. So to summarize, accountability is loving, sharing is caring. Cool stuff. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for a night, Lord, in your presence. We thank you for a night, Lord, where, Lord, we can sent away, Lord God, in a loving way, so many precious people, Lord, that's been such a big part of this house, Lord. But Lord, more than that, Lord, that we can really, all of us, Lord God, those who go and those who remain behind, Lord, really, yeah, get focused in terms of our relationships, Lord. Be intentional in terms of our relationships, Lord, so we can grow in you. Father, I pray you'll really grace us, Lord, with the ability to really love one another. Lord, to love one another, not just in a fuzzy way, in a huggy way, but really to help one another grow, to help one another become like you, to help one another, Lord, even in the practical things in life that we struggle with, in all forms of life, Lord God. Father, I pray that you'll help us, Lord, to share our lives with one another and to allow other people to speak into our lives, Lord. And disregarding the accountability thing, Lord, I pray for each person, Lord God, for that specific, solid, faithful person with whom they can walk a road, with whom they can share a place of safety and a place of love, Lord, in you, in Jesus' name. Father, thank you that your heart for us is really to grow and to bear fruit. And we simply ask, Lord, you'll guide us and help us. In Jesus' name.